الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين أحمده وأشكره وأستعينه وأستغفره وأتوكل عليه وأصلي وأسلم على حبيبه ونجيبه وخيرته في خلقه حافظ سره ومبلغ رسالاته بشير رحمته ونذير نقمته سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الأطيبين الأطهرين وصحبه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وصل على أئمة المسلمين وحماة المستضعفين وهداة المؤمنين وصل على بقية الله في الأرضين أوصيكم عباد الله بتقوى الله ونظم أمركم. I remind you all brothers and sisters and myself to piety and taqwa, and I pray to Allah for all of us to increase our taqwa and piety and remembrance and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah forgive our sins and awaken us to the teachings of the Holy Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. I will start a discussion today related to hadith of Mi'raj. Mi'raj is a collection, Mi'raj itself is a journey of our Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasallam, Allahumma sallam, that he made on a night from Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa, from there to the other heavens and other worlds. And what he brought from this journey, among other things, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him as an account of the requirements of a journey towards Allah, the obstacles to the journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the duties of a person who's trying to tread this path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith of Mi'raj, which my teacher Ali Ayatullah Hujjatul Haq Ali Sa'adat Parwar, who was a living example and a student of Allama Tabatabai, he wrote a long commentary on this hadith of Mi'raj. One small part of this hadith relates to the topic of tawakkul. So first short hadith in this regard is narrated by Marhum Faiz Kashani, rahimahullah. These are among the mawa'iz, among the advice and instructions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the Holy Prophet on the night of Mi'raj, which have been narrated by Muhammad ibn al-Husayn ibn Abul Hasan in his book Irshad al-Qulub, all the way up to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, Allahumma salam, that he and the other accounts that go to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, that narrate from the Holy Prophet of Islam, that the Inna Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam sa'ala rabbahu subhanahu laylatal mi'raj. The Holy Prophet of Islam, our Nabi, the Holy Prophet, he asked his Lord on the night of Mi'raj, on the night of his journey, ascension towards Allah, he said, Ya Rabb, ayyul a'mali afdal. He said, O Lord, which of the actions is the best and most valuable? Which action is most valuable? And فقال الله عز وجل ليس شيء أفضل عندي من التوكل عليه والرضا بما قسمته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to this question of Holy Prophet about the most valuable action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is no action, there's nothing more valuable to me than relying upon me. وَالْرِضَى بِمَا قَسَمْتُ and being satisfied with what I have apportioned. Tawakkul, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is from the root word of waw, kaf, lam, wakalla, which means wakil, or wakil, the word wakil is taken from that too. Wakil is a person you hire or you take to advocate for you, like an attorney, you know. Wakil is a person. So you trust that person to perform some task for you. And there's a huge collection of ayat in Holy Quran that speak about the subject of reliance on Allah. In this hadith, hadith of Mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is nothing more valuable with me than relying upon me. Anyone who wants to get close to me must first rely on me. Before I go on to other hadith in this on this topic in hadith of Mi'raj, I will just recite a verse of Holy Quran that relates to the topic of that about the topic of tawakkul. In Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verses 159 and 160. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem fa idha azamta fa tawakkal 'ala Allah. When you have made your conviction, your decision, then you must put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you plan to do something, put your trust in Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ Allah loves those who put their trust in Him. إِنْ يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ If Allah helps you, no one can overcome you. وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ And if He abandons you, if He leaves you, then who else can save you? Who else can help you? وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ And upon Allah, all the believers must rely and trust. In our lives, we find ourselves in situations where we plan to do something and we put together all the means and resources. We put our knowledge to the task and we look at all the different factors that come in the way of obstructing or hindering us in achieving what we want to achieve. But in doing all of this, we often lose sight of the power that controls everything, right? Sometimes when everything fails, then we ask ourselves, why, after all the things that could be done, have been done, I couldn't achieve my goals? And then we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when nothing works, right? Just like a person who is on a ship or in a plane, when everything is going smooth, he's busy with other things. He or she doesn't even think about, you know, the real power. And when something goes wrong with the plane, or when there's a, you know, thunderstorm or something else, you know, that's when the person starts wondering or worrying. Because the natural resources and the natural means and the human beings, right, they are of no avail. They can't rescue us. They can't save us. That's where this inner voice becomes louder. The voice that was suppressed for long, right, suddenly wakes up. They say, oh Lord, help me. This ghaflat, you know, negligence and forgetfulness of human beings, this is the main problem. This, you know, negligence, this is the main problem why people indulge themselves more and more in dunya and find themselves in more anguish and pain and more, you know, anxiety, more depression, more basically problems with themselves, problems with people around them, right? The root cause is this lack of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even remembering the fact that everything is from Him and to Him we shall return. Is there a path back to Him? Where have we come from? The final goal, final destination, where it is? Where is it? What is the path that leads a person to the origin, back to the origin? Inna lillahi wa inna ilahi raji'un. How does a person find that path? Who can save, who can guide us? Person who understands, who has wisdom, a person who has some nur in his heart, right? He knows that this journey that you find ourselves in this world, physical journey, from a sperm all the way till the grave, right? The beginning of a human being, physical being of a person made from this elements from this soil and earth, then the growth of an embryo in the womb of a mother, birth of a child, right? All the different things that happen in different phases of a person's life. Children who are so easily amused by, you know, colorful things, fancy and delicious things. And we are told that don't be like little children, you know, who are easily amused by colorful things. And then we grow older and older until we reach an old age, and then we pass away and we are buried. Is this the total journey of a human being? The total journey of a human being begins with birth and ends in death. Is this all there is? Anyone who applies his reason, you know, knows that this is not possible. It's not possible that human journey starts from the birth or, you know, conception and ends in death. No one can understand. Anyone who has, again, wijdan, inner voice, reason, power, or the rational ability to reason, any of these two, knows that this is not possible. The human being would just be born like this, with this kind of perfect creation, this, all these things that make us think and feel inside, all this could come from this sand and back to the sand and nothing else. No, it's not a time for, or this is not a day or discussion or topic for this kind of topic, how a person knows that or how he feels this, you know, that this is not possible. But this is just a fact. And the words of Allah in Hadith Qudsi or Holy Quran, the ruh that Allah gave to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. Although the other prophets of Allah, right, either other prophets of God, they heard sometimes a voice. Sometimes an angel came to speak to them, right? Or they received something in writing. Or they were guided by another prophet, like Musa and Khizr alayhi salam. But in case of the Holy Prophet of Islam and Ahlul Bayt, a person came to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, and said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, all this knowledge that you have, so many years I have been learning from you, and your knowledge seems to have no end. And how is it? Do you have a written scripture that you read? Are you in contact with Khidr alayhi salam? Where is all this knowledge coming from? And the Imam said, our sixth Imam, Rais Madhab Ja'fari, he said that Al-Amru A'zamu min dhalik. The matter is more serious than this. Yes, we have books which we read. Yes, we have been given knowledge by our ancestors. But then Imam read this verse of Holy Quran, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Laylatul Qadr every year, right? He sends his ruh, and the ruh he sent, right, that came to the Holy Prophet of Islam. That roof passed on to Imam Ali, and that passed on to Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, and down to me today. Right? And it will continue in the Ahlul Bayt of Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli. There's a roof from Alamul Amr, that the actual, where Allah decides everything, that decision is first communicated to the Imam of the time. All the time. So that knowledge that Imam has within, right, is more important than the knowledge from any other human being, because he's in direct contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, those are the people who will lead us to the journey, in this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have challenges in our lives, we struggle, right? But what causes us all the anguish and pain in our lives is our distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what causes pain. Not the work that we do, the struggle with our studies, not the unknowns of our lives. No. Not the actual things that we have lost. Everyone loses things. Everyone has some worries about the future. Will I be find a good job? Will I be able to complete my studies? Will I be able to find a good family or whatever? Those are not the things. Prophets even have the same kind of issues. But they never had any anguish or pain. Or that Musa alayhi salam had to walk all that way in hunger and or everything. Other prophets had to struggle so much. They became orphans sometimes in their infancy. They were poor. They were even tortured, treated unfairly by the people. All of that happened to them. But they were so content and happy. They were happy because of their reliance on Allah and their closeness of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in another part of this Hadith-e-Qudsi, Hadith-e-Miraj, he said that the love for me, right, has no other reason except me. The love that people have for me is because of me. And there's no end to the love for me. Because the love I gave to my servants is from me, there can be no end to it. If the love of Allah was given by another human being, well, how much can we give to another person? But the love that Allah puts, instills in the heart of a believer, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no end, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the levels of tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also are endless. How can a person have any worries by all the things that happen in our lives when he has someone who controls everything and his power is endless? His love overcomes everything. Recite a salawat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins, increase our tawakkul. Inshallah, we'll continue this hadith. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal asri inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat wa tawassaw bil haqqi wa tawassaw bil sabr. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا وسيدنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل وعلى آله الأطيبين الأطهرين المنتجبين سيما علي أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام والصديقة الطاهرة سيدتنا نساء فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين والحسن والحسين سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى عليهم السلام وعلي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف القائم الحجة عليهم الصلاة والسلام حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك وصل على أئمة المسلمين وحماة المستضعفين. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله، صلوا على محمد. May Allah forgive our deceased mu'mineen and mu'minat, elevate the ranks of our shuhada and martyrs of Islam. Well, I've personally been away for more than 50 some days. Alhamdulillah, we thank Maulana Farhat Abbas for helping our Islamic center and providing guidance. And we hope and pray that our Sheikh Badi'i will be back with us, inshallah. And we are all doing our duties the best we can. We pray and hope, and in the ziyarat, we prayed for our community. I personally had Imam Riza alayhi salatu wasalam. And in Karbala with Sayyid al-Shuhada, Imam al-Mazloom alayhi salatu wasalam. Regarding we've already short of time. Well, first and foremost, we say we have our Al-Hadi schools activities going with, mashallah, full steam. Al-Hadi students and staff and teachers and parents are very actively, and our board are very actively involved in, you know, in the educating our children, providing Islamic morals, and organizing all the projects and activities. Currently, they're working on the SimCity project, and for weeks, as I understand, every night they're here after school, working sometimes till midnight here in the school, preparing for their projects. There's an annual contest going on, for which last year, locally, our children, some students from Al-Hadi school got the first prize. And this year, they're just as motivated this year. The theme is about waste management. So they are developing a model city, a model of a city that takes care of all the waste, you know. And waste is a problem in our lives. The Islam also talks about israf and, you know, wasting food, wasting different things. And also the waste in a city is of different kinds. So how do you manage all this? Of course, we talk about prevention, but then the actual waste, what do you do with it? So alhamdulillah, our children have done a lot of research on this topic, and I had a chance to interview some of them. And mashallah, I mean, they had so much knowledge, so much information in their mind. I said, slow down, wait for me. Let me understand what you're telling me. So it's just very encouraging to see the energy and all the teamwork going on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them all successful. Please recite a loud salawat for them. Well, we are also very glad to announce that tomorrow, inshallah, our IEC's Clear Lake branch, our Islamic center, is opening over there. We have an inauguration. And for that, we just got blessed that in this trip to Karbala, one of the main person at the haram of Sayyid al-Shuhada, is our means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. He gave a flag of Sayyid al-Shuhada for our Islamic center over there in Clear Lake, inshallah. So we'll be raising that flag. And with the barakat of the name of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wassalam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all and give success and tawfiqat to all of us, inshallah. There also a protest on Sunday related to the killing and the murder of the great Ayatollah Nimr, Bakr al-Nimr, that has shaken the world. This great crime against Islam, a senior Islamic scholar and Ayatollah. Allahu Akbar. I don't have the words to say it. I mean, imagine a person of his caliber being killed and beheaded like this. Long time in history, we haven't heard of such things that are happening in our time. And it's heartbreaking to the extent we cannot even describe it. All over the world, of course, mu'mineen are heartbroken because of this, and angry at the Ahle Saud, these enemies of Islam who are usurpers of the holy sites of Islam, and those who have destroyed many of our history, many historical sites in and around Mecca and Medina. May Allah destroy their power and bring them down, just like He brought down the Fir'auns and Namruds in the past. So we encourage ourselves, inshallah, to participate on Sunday at the protest. A few things locally going on in USA. Well, racism has been an issue in our country, in this country. In Chicago, there have been demonstrations after a federal judge forced the Chicago Police Department to release videos of the fatal shooting of another unarmed African-American teenager, Chapman, Frederick Chapman. Police claims are challenged by this video, which shows him running away from police unarmed, and he was shot in cold blood. Release of this video comes during increasing calls for resignation of the Chicago mayor, Rahm Emanuel, over possible cover-up of the murder of another black teenager, McDonald, over a year ago by white policemen. Also in upstate New York, Ithaca College president Tom Roshan, he resigned after months of protest on campus over racism on campus and that he did not do enough to address the issue of racism on campus. Racist slurs by alumni and staff in public forums had become a culture that the president of the college president did not do anything to stop. He had to resign, and these are signs that the legal system in this country and the voice of the people, if people are organized and united for a good cause, you know, the law has a process and it goes and it produces results. And we hope that there's a, you know, good control over these kind of incidents going on, especially the shootings of African Americans and discrimination. Another topic that has been in the media about ban after Donald Trump said this thing about banning Muslims from entering the United States. There have been a lot of discussion online and in the media everywhere. And basically, we understand, and a lot of people in this country understand, that statements like these, they tarnish the image of United States within and outside. This kind of rhetoric, you know, of banning Muslims from entering the U.S., it ruins our image of religious freedom, and especially when we talk to other countries about allowing religious freedom, or criticizing other countries for not allowing religious freedom, right? Restriction, religious restriction. And then we have a presidential candidate speaking and then defending himself after more than 10 million people spoke on this subject online and elsewhere. It just says that, you know, we still have a long way to go to educate ourselves about the basics of human society and human living and relations between human beings. We hope that these things, you know, are curtailed and also addressed properly. I'll just finish with one thing. There's a time, we're over the time. Please recite a salawat. Naam salam. Well, the U.S. Marines who had, for some reason, entered into Iranian marine space. So they were held for 24 hours, and it's probably the shortest time anyone has been released after such an incident. But in those few hours, you see how some politicians have been speaking about preparing themselves for, you know, for the worst measures you can imagine. And whose fault is it? Well, they shouldn't have strayed into the area that's not theirs or not international waters. Anyway, these things, well, for example, in the videos, the picture that was shown in the media that the Marines were held, you know, obviously they had guns, they were armed, so there's a risk dealing with Marines in this kind of a situation. But then some people played it up, you know, how they have been humiliated, and U.S., United States has been humiliated and all that. But we should look at the other side of the coin that, you know, in this kind of situation, any other country, how would they deal with this? Sometimes these things go on for weeks and months. But we avoided, you know. Countries, when they show respect to each other, this we have a way out of any possible, you know. But it were interesting jokes people made about this thing also. And one of the things I heard was interesting is that the general asked these soldiers that, did the Iranians treat you well or not? And he said, yes, they were treated very nicely. And he said, and they said, they even gave us food to eat and they were safe and all that. They said, well, be careful. The food they give you sometimes makes you, you know, follow them. Say, do whatever they tell you to do. And these soldiers said that, well, we swear to the eighth Imam that they never did such a thing. Anyway, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all and create unity and understanding between nations, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Idha ja'a nasrullahi wal-fath wa ra'ayta an-nasa yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja fasabbih bihamdi rabbika wa astaghfirhu innahu kana tawwaba.
امید قریبان تنها کجایی؟ چراغ سر قبر زهرا کجایی؟ تجلی طه گل اشک مولا دل آشفته داغ آن کوچه غم گرفتار گودال خونین دل افکار غمهای زینب سیاه پوش قاسم عزادار اکبر گل باغ لیلا پریشان دست علمگیر سقا نفسهای سجا نواهای باغ دعاهای صادق کس بی کسی های شبهای کاظم حبیب رضا و انیس غریب جواد الائمه تمنای هادی عزیز دل اسگری پس نگارا بفرما کجایی 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 دلم جز هوایت هوایی ندارم لبم غیر نامت نوایی ندارم وضو و اذان و نماز و قنوتم بدون ولایت بهایی ندارد دلی که نشد خانه یاس نرگس خراب است و ویران صفایی ندارد بیا تا جوانم بده رخ نشانم بیا تا جوانم بده رخ نشانم که این زندگانی وفایی ندارم که این زندگانی وفایی ندارم